ends up in Bree Miller's hands. She brings it up, kicks it over to number 14, Bonnie Jensen. Jensen gets the ball back and puts in a beautiful layup under the basket over Thompson. So 41-36 is your score, 5:40 remaining in the third quarter. Went bringing it up now, gives it to Rangel in the right wing. Rangel looking for Thompson, but she was tripped. No call made. No, they do make it. Yep. A tripping call be made against Jensen. That's going to be your third, team's fourth. Farney's going to come in for Bella Opelt. Farney is a junior from Winnicon. Inbound to Wisner. Nice little dish. Thompson, beautiful little bank over the outstretched arms at 10 pass. Great shot over great defense there. 43-36, 5:22 remaining as Hondo brings it up. Lainey Havlovitz for the Redhawks. She's driving right. Guarded by Wendt. She's going to pull back out now again. Now she's going to drive again, pulling up. Kicks it out with the ball. Taken away by Rangel, who anticipated it. Little dish. Nice little dish to Wisner. Wisner puts it off. Banker won't fall, but a good effort. Great rebound by Tenpas. Kicks it back out to Farney. Farney in the right backcourt, guarded by Rangel. Kicks it to the right wing to Laney. Laney's going to drive. Nowhere to go. Kicks back out to Jensen from the right wing. Fakes a three. Drives. Kicks it back out to Miller for three. Yes! Her second tray in the game. For Bree Miller, the junior. Out of Fondy, a local girl. So it's a 43-39 pile lead with 4:33 remaining. Went, dribbles it out, kicks it out to Rangel. Rangel driving. Oh, fakes fall away jumper, kicks over Thompson. Oh, Thompson can't get it to fall. Rebound finally ends up in the hands of Hondo. Hondo brings it up, going coast to coast. Kicks it over to Jensen. Jensen, beautiful little move. Oh, she should have shot it. Greg, we see this way too much where a player makes a great drive. They're about 4 or 5 feet away, should take it themselves, but they make that extra pass, and Tenpas was not expecting it. Yeah. She didn't even have a good view of it as there was a Pio in her way. She was already in that rebound position, that box-out position, but Pios did the same thing on the earlier drive. Or excuse me, the Redhawks did too, and it's just something you'd like to see coaches be more cognizant of or coach. So,
yeah. Yeah. Both coaches have been very conservative about using their timeouts so far in the game.
They sure have.
But I'll tell you, I've been really impressed by the way Olivia Rangel has shot the ball.
Me too. She's a playmaker. You can tell.
She is a playmaker.
Every team should have a playmaker at the guard position. But it's nice. They've got, I mean, there's a lot of great scorers in this lineup. Pio lineup now coming out. It's Allison Thompson back out on the floor. Looks like Paul Skills back in. Ryan Wendt stays in. Chloe Halverson's in. And Olivia Rangel in. So Rangel is, of all the players, she's the one that spent the least amount of time on the bench for the Pios. So they really do rely on her. She will take the, looks like she'll be, I stand corrected. Rangel will have a seat. Number 33, Natalie Grisius is in. Grisius will inbound to Ryan Wendt. So Rangel does get a much deserved rest. Though the Pioneer lead is only four here. 4:15 remaining, third quarter. Inbound to Wendt. Dribbles it up slowly here. Going to be a man defense for Rippin. Paul Skill has it in the wing. Kicks it back out to Grisius, top of the key. Grisius driving now, kicks it over to the left wing. Halverson back out to Paul Skill, top of the key. Back to Halverson in the left backcourt. Gives it to Grisius. Grisius for three, top of the key. Yes! Natalie Grisius makes it a 7-point lead again with 3:49 remaining, 46-39. Laney Havlovitz bringing it up for the Redhawks, guarded by Polsko, going to the right here. Oh, now she's going to drive. She's got some room. Pulls up. Kicks it back out to Tenpas. Tenpas over to Flarney. She pulls in, nowhere to go. Nice little dish. Tenpas layup under the basket. Oh, it was blocked by the backboard underneath, so it got a little too far, but they're calling. I think it's Thompson again. No, Ryan Wendt gets called with that. Ryan, that'll be your third.
Yeah.
Soike will come in now for Allison Thompson. So I really didn't see much of a foul there, Greg. But, again, that's why those guys are out there and we're back here.
Yep.
And Tempest is a good shooter. So for her to shoot it under the basket like that might explain why the foul was. First free throw's in. So it's 46-40 with 3:29 remaining. Ella, 10 pass. Second one's good also. The junior from Hoosburg. So Wendt bringing it up again. 3:24 remaining. It's a five-point game. Paulskill has the right wing. Kicks it over to Grisius. Now to Halverson in the left wing. Now to Soike in the corner. Nice little pass there. Great little shot there by Paulskill on a great pass by Grisius. 48-41. Heavy pressure on Hondo here in the backcourt from Paulskill. She kicks it over to Jensen. Jensen going to drive. She's got a layup. Great move by Bonnie Jensen. Powering pass, Chloe Halverson. And Piles will inbound now. Soike will inbound to Wendt. Wendt will bring it up. Rangel shows up to the scorer's table to get checked back in. 48-43, Pile lead. 2:38 remaining, third quarter. Grisius right wing. Beautiful dish to Soike. Soike's going to go up, but a great defensive play by Havlovitz, sneaking over to do the grab ball. Piles hang on to possession. Opelt will come in for Havlovitz. And Rangel will come in for Wendt. 48-43. Rangel will inbound for the Piles under their own basket. And she's got Grisius, top of the key. Grisius over to Paulskill, left wing. Kicks it out to Rangel in the corner. Rangel driving in now. Rangel kicks it over to Soike. Soike now driving. Nowhere to go. She kicks it back out, but it's stolen by Opelt, who anticipated that. Opelt on the fast break. She's going to make, oh, nice little strip there by Paulskill. Another great defensive play. Here comes Rangel in transition. Throws it down to Paulskill. Paulskill driving, pulls up. Cross-court pass all the way to Halverson. Halverson pulls up. Kicks it back out to Grisius. Grisius now back to Halverson. Halverson to Paulskill on the left wing. Nice little pass to Rangel. Rangel back out to Grisius. Long shot. It's good. A long deuce. It's 50-43. 1:46 remaining. Great ball distribution by the Piles here. Opelt driving now, guarded by Paulskill. Gets it into the corner to Jensen now on the right side. Or no, excuse me, that was Bree Miller. Bree Miller looking for help. She's got Farney underneath, guarded by Halverson. Nowhere to go, but she gets fouled by Paulskill. She really had nowhere to go. They should have let her shoot it, but it's hard to tell.
That's Natalie.
Third on Paulskill. That's too bad. With 1:28 in the third, so unfortunately they got to use her more conservatively. We forgot she had those two early fouls in the first half, first quarter actually. Big three substitutions here. And again, shooting this is Anna Farney, the junior from Winnicon. First shot's good, so it's 50-44. Looking to take it back to a five-point game with 1:28 remaining in the third. Second one's good, so 50-45. And the Dire Wolf comes in for Opelt, Natalie Rauwolf. It'd be interesting that you should see a lineup where you have Rauwolf, Laney, and Opelt. Both great ball handlers. Rangel to the right wing to Halverson. Halverson to Rangel in the corner. Rangel to Grisius. Nice little dish to Soike. And a travel's called against Soike as she was powering in on Jensen. And I'm more upset that she kicked it out to Wisner when she should have tried to make a move to the basket. Drew a foul against Jensen. So Laney Havlovitz brings it up, guarded by Halverson here. A five-point lead with 1:05 remaining in the third. Kicks it over, trouble with the ball, and it goes out of bounds. Off Farney, great little defense there by Wisner, forcing that. Not a really good pass there by Laney. So great turnover caused by the Pios in the backcourt. 58 seconds and counting. Pios looking to add to a 50-45 lead before the half. Wisner has it left wing. Finds Grisius. Grisius fakes the long one, now driving in. Beautiful little dish underneath, but knocked away beautifully by Laney Havlovitz. And Greg, another example where Grisius should have just taken it all the way. She had the lane. She could have even pulled up if she was worried about getting a charge foul. But there was really nobody there for ripping to stop her. Inbound to Grisius now. Driving in. Pulls up the jumper off the back of the rim. Great rebound by Soike, but knocked away by Jensen. Kicked back to Jensen from Farney. Great effort. Oh, and there should be trouble with the ball handler. Miller pulls up, and that one's not going to fall. Soike gets the rebound. Should have gotten fouled. Jump ball. Wow. How do you figure that one? Farney came from behind, knocked Swayke over, and they're calling a held ball possession there. Favors rip, and I do not like that call.
Yeah.
They've been consistent. They've done a quality job, but I failed to see the logic behind that one. The inbound to Farney. Farney kicks it into Jensen. Jensen from the left side pulls it in. Can't get it to fall. Great defense by Swayke. Rebound. Jensen can't get that to fall either. So good stand there by the Pio defense with 18 seconds remaining in the third quarter. Rangel to Swayke, top of the key. As we approach 10 seconds, it's now Rangel in the left wing. Beautiful dish to Gracia. She's going to take it in. Oh, can't get the shot to fall. Knocked off of Jensen. And they're calling it ripping ball, too, so I must be watching a different game. Jensen clearly knocked that out. Gets inbounded here, 4 seconds left. Laney's going to put up a dead. No, she's going all the way. She might get that. Nope. Wow. The only thing that stopped Laney on that coast-to-coast drive was the bottom of the backboard. If she'd released the ball sooner, she probably would have had a layup, made it a three-point game. So a fortuitous break for the Pioneers. At the end of the third quarter, we're going to take a quick 30-second break here on the Pioneer Basketball Radio Network. Anya, take.
Attention high school sports fans, are you an armchair official? You know, the parent or fan who constantly yells at the referees and loves to let everyone know just how bad you think they are. Well, if you think you could do better, then get in the game and prove it. It's time for you to suit up and make the calls where they actually count. Every sport in Wisconsin needs more officials. Sign up today at highschoolofficials.com.
Ball put Allison Thompson back in the game.
Yeah. And we are back from Ted H. Baker Court at Carroll University. Triple G along with Don Brown doing play-by-play. Hey, Don.
Hey, Greg. Welcome back, everyone, to Van Mail Fieldhouse on the campus of Carroll University, Wisconsin's Pioneer University. Pioneers come off the bench to start the fourth quarter. It's going to be Olivia Rangel. It's going to be Natalie Gracius, number 33. And Natalie Pauskill playing with four fouls. Number 32, Emily Wisner, and number 12, Allison Thompson. This is your starting line for the fourth quarter, and Red Hawks come out. The Dire Wolf will be guarding Rangel here. She dribbles up, hits Pauskill on the right wing. Pauskill looking for someone. She kicks it into Thompson. Thompson, trouble with the handle. She's got it. She's going to put it up. Oh, off the rim. Rebounded by the Red Hawks. Bonnie Jensen now. She's going to take it in transition, too. Good ball handling for a forward. Kicks it back out to Bella Opelt. And there's a long shot. That's off the back of the rim. Rebounded by Wisner. She gets knocked around and ends up in Dire Wolf's hands. Kicks it out to Opelt. Top of the key. 9:26 remaining. Opelt's going to drive. Kicks it back out to Tenpas. Tenpas fakes. She drives. Beautiful layup. Great play by Tenpas. It's now a three-point game. 50-47, a heck of a play by Tenpas, faking the outside shot and then driving the layup for the easy deuce. And now it's Pauskill having the right wing, going to the center, kicks it back to Wisner in the left backcourt. Now Rangel in the left wing, goes around a Thompson pick, and foul is called. Natalie Rowell gets called on a hold. I think they're trying to do a give and go, and she hung on to Natalie Rowell there. Or no, excuse me, to Allison Thompson. So Pauskill will inbound in front of the Pio bench. Gives it to Rangel in the backcourt. Rangel now going to the left corner here. Heading towards the basket. Pulls up from a tough angle. Drains a deuce. It's 52-47 now. 8:49, your time remaining. A five-point lead. As Lainey Havlovitz dribbles out over to her right. Guarded by Pauskill. Kicks it out to Bella Opelt. Oh, and a kick. Great defensive play by Wisner. She was giving it into Tenpas, so we'll take that violation anytime when you're giving it to one of your best scorers. Opelt inbounding in front of her own bench now. And they finally get into Tenpas, top of the key. She's looking for a guard and kicks it out to Opelt. Opelt goes for the shot on the drive. No good. Rebounded by Pauskill. Pauskill going to bring it out herself. Now she pulls it up on the left backcourt. Kicks it over to Rangel in the left corner. Rangel fakes, drives, nowhere to go. Beautiful kick out. to Grisius for three. Yes! Natalie Grisius! No, excuse me, Emily Wisner. That was Wisner. Wiz. 55-47, Pyles, 8:09 remaining. That was a huge shot. Laney now driving, kicks it out to Dyer Wolf for three, and that one's off the front of the rim. And Jensen over the back, but they called out of bounds. Should have been over the back. She did a great job knocking it off a pile. She got someone good like dodgeball. I don't know who that was, but I could feel it. She's doing a good job faking the pain or whoever that is. I think it was Allison. It was Thompson. No, she's not.
That Wisner three really changed.
And that was like a Dave Parker throw on that.
Yeah.
So now here's where we're talking, Greg, is now is here the Pio should slow it down a little. Work for a good shot. Take some time off the clock.
Yep.
Inbound to Rangel from Thompson. 7:56 remaining in the game. An 8-point Pio lead. Biggest lead of the game as Paulskill has it. Kicks it to Grisius. Over to Wisner in the left wing. Wisner now kicks it to Grisius. Top of the key. Grisius, nice little dish to Rangel near the free throw line. Rangel, she pulls up. And off the front of the rim. And, oh, I thought it was going in. And that's going to go out of bounds. And it's still the Pioneers ball. Great effort by Thompson on that. Avoiding the over the back to try to get the rebound. Redhawks knocked it out. So Rangel will bring it in. On the southwest side under the basket. Rangel inbounding, 7:35 remaining. Trouble finding someone there. Just kicks it all the way out to Wisner now. Wisner left backcourt to Paulskill, top of the key. Gives it to Grisius now on the right. Kicks it back out to Paulskill. Paulskill cross court to Rangel for three. Rangel, yes! Olivia Rangel! It's now an 11-point pile lead, 58-47 with 7:17 remaining. Hondo Laney has it in a timeout by Rippin. And again, Coach Busalaki says, I've seen enough.
Man,
Pio Nation.
Keep shooting those threes, Pios, you know. First
Busalaki.
One by Emily Wisner and by Rangel. The threes are contagious here.
In Rangel, she's proven she can score from anywhere.
Yeah.
She had a nice little corner shot there, just like you kind of go past the backwards there, but she had the angle, tough angle, but she made it like a pool player and a tough shot. And then she has that sweet spot near, like near the free throw line on the right side. She should just shoot her free throws from the right side of the thing because she's hot from there. And then that three from the right, from the left backcourt. And great ball distribution, too, all around, finding the open player. That cross-court pass used to be a no-no when I was growing up, but, Coach, you know, if you can pull that off and spread that defense, as long as you're smart with the pass. Pio's come out, and it's Allison Thompson, Emily Wisner, Olivia Rangel, Natalie Paulskill, and, excuse me, let's see here. And Natalie Grisius. Inbounding will be Farnay here in front of us. She gets it in to Laney. Guarded by Rangel. Going to the right side here. Now she comes to the left. She gets it out to Bree Miller. Miller to Jensen in the corner. Jensen, a beautiful drive past Thompson. The shot is good. Great little spot there by Jensen. So a 9-point game with 6:55 remaining. 58-49 Pios. Rangel, again, looking to kind of slow things down here. Paulskill the right wing to Grisius. Top of the key now to Wisner in the left wing. Back to Paulskill, top of the key. Back to Wisner in the left wing. Now Rangel has the top of the key. Rangel dribbles. Back to Wisner. Oh, Wisner, trouble with the ball. Heavy pressure. She gets fouled there. I don't know if I agree with the call. Laney Havlovitz. There was a little contact, but not enough to say that's a violation. I don't like the call. It was a great opportunity for Rippin to turn things out. So if you're a Red Hawk fan, you'd wonder if there was a little home cooking there, Triple G.
Yeah, definitely.
So definitely. Allison Thompson will go out. Soike's back in. Great minutes by Thompson. Inbound to Rangel and a fresh clock there for the Pios. And a foul on the pick. As Farney went right through Natalie Paulskill. That's a second personal, third team foul. 6:29 left in the game, a 9-point pile lead. As Palskill inbounds to Rangel. Rangel back to Palskill. Palskill now going to the center, driving to the basket, right-handed layup. No good, not a good shot, and an over-the-back call against Soike. Again, not a big fan of that call either. They're really calling it tight now, Greg, here. 6:21 remaining.
Yeah, I don't know why the officials are feeling the need to call it so tight.
Yeah, and again, they're being consistent, which is good, but it's just, you know, you want to see a good game. And oh, great effort there by Rangel as she got a hold of a pass to Jensen but couldn't keep it in bounds. It remains Red Hawk ball. They'll inbound in front of their own basket as we see Chloe Halverson looking to come into the game. And they will let the sub in. Halverson's going to come in for Wisner, who's given us some great effort here in the second half. Couple trays that I can recall. The first one really blew the game open. And an inbound there to Jensen, under the basket. Jensen pulling up. Can't get the shot off. Great defense there. Now Rangel has it from Grisius. Gets it back to Grisius. Heavy pressure there. Palskill has it back to Rangel. Rangel all the way over to Halverson in the right wing. Guarded heavily by Jensen. Top of the key, Palskill has it. Kicks it over to Soike in the left wing. Now Rangel has it in the corner. 10 seconds on the shot clock. Rangel to Grisius for three from the right wing. Oh, off the back of the rim. Her footing was kind of funny on that shot, Greg, so I didn't think it was going to go in. Hondo gets over to Jensen. Right wing, Jensen now driving. Great little steal there by Rangel. Kicks it over to Halverson as she falls down. Halverson now gets it over to Palskill in the right wing here. Right backcourt, I should say. Gets it over to Rangel, top of the key. Now to Soike in the left backcourt. Grisius, top of the key, now has it. Halverson has it in the right wing. Into the corner now to Palskill. 10 seconds on the shot clock. Grisius now driving. She pulls up. And 12-footer, no good. Great effort there by Jensen, but can't keep it in bounds. There was a struggle for the rebound involving two Red Hawks and one pile. And now Anna Nielsen will come in for Grisius. Give Grisius some quality rest before I'm sure she'll be re-entering the game as we get closer to 2 minutes. And Ryan Wendt will come in, too, for Palskill. Now, Palskill, also great minutes from Palskill. And that's a smart move because, again, Palskill's got four fouls. The inbound from Wendt to Halverson. Halverson now gives it to Rangel, top of the key. Over to Wendt here in the right wing. Back to Rangel, top of the key. 10 seconds left on the shot clock here, 4:55 remaining. Kicks it over to Nielsen. Nielsen driving. Nielsen, left-handed shot, no good. Drew went through a lot of Red Hawks to try to get that one off. Almost pulled it off, but not to be. Dyer Wolf in the game now. Raul Wolf has it. She's driving around looking for Savannah. There is a backcourt foul there by Soike. Not a necessary foul to make. Coach's worst nightmare, those backcourt fouls. And that, I believe, let's see, that may be four on Soike, so she's got to be careful. Dyer Wolf will inbound it to 10 pass, top of the key. 10 pass driving on Soike. She's going to take it all the way in. Easy layup for 10 pass. She has really become a go-to player here.
How many times?
With all the pressure on Jensen. Yeah, it's a 7-point game, 4:26. A lot of basketball left remaining, so Piles have to be smart here. Would like to come away with some points here. Rangel has a top of the key, guarded heavily by Funky. Kicks it to Halverson in the right wing. Halverson to Nielsen. Kicks it over to Wendt in the left wing. Wendt finds Nielsen, top of the key. Now Rangel has it near her favorite spot. She's going to drive. Fall away jumper from Rangel. Off the back of the rim, no good. Rebounded by 10 pass. 3:57 remaining. Here comes Dyer Wolf and the Red Hawks in transition. Rao Wolf looking for someone. Gets it to 10 pass, top of the key. And boy, I'd really lay off of her. Do not give up that drive. 10 pass kicks it out to Jensen. Jensen makes three. She pulls up. Back to 10 pass underneath. 10 pass with another little shot there. A great little give and go there by Bonnie Jensen. Now it's a 5-point game. 3:33 remaining. Wendt has the ball. Now Halverson has the right wing. Halverson to Rangel. Rangel to Wendt. Wendt driving. Wendt in a little trouble. Kicks it back to Nielsen. Nielsen going to drive. Left-handed layup. Yes! And the basket counts. Anna Nielsen with a clutch bucket from the sophomore from Verona.
First point of the game for Nielsen.
And there is world. Yeah. There is a world beyond Verona walls. Yes, a first point and a chance for a three-point play. 60-53, 3:15 remaining. If she makes this basket, she will make the face of heaven so fine that all the world will be in love with Knight. And pay no worship to the Garrett Sun as it's now an eight-point pile lead with 3:15 remaining, 61-53. Inbound to Hondo. Lainey Havlovitz, guarded by Natalie Paulskill, back in the game. Wisner back in the game now. Gets it over to Jensen. Jensen give it a go, drops the ball, but she gets it back. And now Havlovitz to Jensen. Jensen over to Miller for three. Miller off the back of the rim. Great rebound there by Paulskill. Gives it to Wisner on the outlet. Now Rangel has it, 2:50 remaining. Rangel at the top of the key here. Oh, ball goes off her foot. She keeps it in. Great job. Oh, I don't like the call. It was still on the line. It was still on the line. I did not see any orange on the other side of that black stripe, but Rippon gets the call, trailing by eight with 2:42 remaining. Dyer Wolf will inbound. Gives it to Bonnie Jensen, top of the key. Over to Lainey, who's going to drive in. She pulls it back, looking for help. Gives to a driving Jensen. Jensen gets fouled on the layup attempt there. That is on Soike, I think. Let's see. No, Paulskill.
And that's her fifth.
Fourth on Paulskill. Thank God we were wrong, Greg. Because she has been an asset to this Pioneer defense, or offense and defense, in so many ways. So, Jensen. And now that's off the back of the rim. And Bonnie Jensen had 6 points going into the fourth quarter here. Misses the first free throw. Second one is good. So it's a seven-point pile lead, 61-54, 2:36 left. The inbound to Rangel. Surprised we don't have a full-court press here from Rippon. Raul Wolf is guarding Rangel. She gives it to Wisner in the left wing. Wisner to Rangel, top of the key. Rangel to Grisius in the right wing. Back to Rangel, top of the key after some screens. Rangel goes around a Grisius pick. Pulls up. Long jump shot. It's good. A little toilet bowl shot. A swisher. 63-54 piles. Another clutch shot from Rangel under heavy pressure. Jensen had a hand in her face. Now Haley Lainey has it. Gives it to Jensen in the corner. Jensen kicks it back out. Bree Miller for three from the corner after the pass. That's top of the backboard automatically out of bounds. Great ball distribution there. That was Jensen to Raul Wolf to Miller all alone and two misses. Raul Wolf will come out of the game, interestingly enough. I think she's one you'd want to have in here. 1:51 remaining, a nine-point pile lead. And, again, no full-court pressure from Rippon. Paul Wiltz has it right wing. Back to Rangel, top of the key, over to Soike in the left wing. Kicks it back out to Paulskill. Now Grisius has it in the right wing. Finds Paulskill on the left side. Paulskill driving. Nice little dish to Soike. She gets hammered on an attempt there. It was either Jensen or Miller on that. Looks like it's going to go against Miller. That should be her second or third. So Lauren Soike, the senior from Nicolet, puts the first one in. 64-54. 1:28 remaining, and second free throw, and that's, oh, off the back of the rim. Rebounded by Grisius in the piles. Wisner back to Rangel, back to Wisner. Now Paulskill has it in the right wing. Paulskill to Wisner, top of the key. Wisner back to Paulskill. Seven on the shot clock. Paulskill to Soike. Rangel for three. Yes! And a barrel from Lane Larrabee. There is your dagger.
Yes.
Wow. And it's now a timeout, 59.3 seconds. And we'll take a quick 30-second timeout here on the Pioneer Basketball Radio Network. Anya, if you would, please.
folks, I tell you this much, the Cripes Cast is just the butter on my cheese.
Cockroaches, not that bad. They call them palmetto bugs in South Carolina. Same thing, you can call them up here.
Are they really palmetto bugs?
Yes. Yeah, and they're a great source of protein. They're going to be the lobsters of the future.
They also got salmonella, and they can lay like 40 eggs at once.
Well, they gotta work out a few kinks there, okay? They gotta work out a few kinks.
Cripes Cast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
We are back for the finish of the fourth quarter here at Ted Baker Court. I almost said Steiger Stadium, Don.
Van Mail Fieldhouse, where the Ted Baker Court is laid out beautifully. Beautiful design of hardwood and the Pio Pete logo in the center. And looks like Pioneer Pete, Pio Pete should be smiling as the Pioneer women's team giving us our second Saturday victory in a row after the men's were victorious in overtime against Concordia. There will not be an overtime. A 13-point lead with less than a minute. Kind of surprised that Buzalaki, legendary coach, did not call timeout sooner.
Yeah, yeah.
But Rippon will inbound here, half court. Lainey Havlovitz has it. Gives it over to Farney. Now Ten Pass has it. Ten Pass driving. She's kind of muscling her way in. Long layup off the rim. Beautiful rebound by Soike. And they're trying to foul her right away. Rangel has it. I'm not sure you want to foul her, but really no time left. It's pretty academic here. So Rangel, they'll just work the ball. Wisner now has it. Wisner to Grisius. Back to Wisner, top of the key. 29 seconds, 10 on the clock, shot clock. Into the corner, Rangel to a cutting Grisius. He gets knocked out of bounds. And the Pioneers will keep it with 6 seconds left on the shot clock. 24.2 in the game clock. Rangel inbounds to up. Oh, we got the 5 second violation. Wow, you don't expect a very capable guard like Rangel to give that up, but it is a moot point, shall we say. And now is another timeout by Rippon here. There must be a 13-point play I haven't heard of, Triple G. So, but
we love those 13-point plays.
You know, as you get ready for conference playing, it's good to have these moments.
So yes.
There's good opportunities for coaching moments.
Yeah. And, hey, we want to remind you that to listen to all of the Pioneer sports games as well as our high school game of the week on Friday nights, tune in to the Civic Media app. You can download it from the App Store if you're not listening to it already, that is. And Civic Media, of course, the company that owns WAEK Radio, the Shaw.
And we're ready to start here.
Yeah.
Piles of Soike, Grisius, Rangel, Paul Skill, and Wisner. Inbound to Lainey. She gets a layup off. Won't fall. Rebounded by Paul Skill, and she'll get fouled. No, they're going to call jump ball there. And Paul Skill looks like she's in pain there. No, she's kind of smiling now. I think she got a kick out of that. I think she was amused by the call. And again, in 18.2 seconds, doesn't matter. 67-54 in favor of the Pioneers. And this was a well-earned victory against a really tough Red Hawk team.
Yes, they came
out. Laney's got the inbound all the way top of the key. Kicks it over to Bree Miller for a long three. And Miller, off the front of the rim. Great rebound by Rangel. She gets on a little scrum there. And now they're going to call Bonnie Jensen with the foul. I thought that was more of a jump ball than the last one. And that's a fifth foul on Bonnie Jensen, so that'll be it for her. But a great effort there by Bonnie Jensen. Much respect for the senior from Muskego. Went to Martin Luther High School in Milwaukee. I guess there's six fouls here in the women's because she's staying in there. Rangel makes the first, 68-54. 10.7 seconds left in the game. Pioneers will advance to 4-2, and the Redhawks will be knotted at threes. Second free throw is also good by Rangel. Make that 69-54. Inbound to Lainey Havlovitz. Last drive of the game. 6 seconds now, 5, 4, 3. Little dish gets knocked away by Palsko, and that'll do it. The Pioneers of Carroll University are victorious, defeating former Midwest Conference rival, the Rippon Redhawks, 69-54. Pioneers now take the lead in the series 28-27, and I expect they'll be playing each other again next year or in future seasons. And we're going to wait for the postgame stats from Mike Westmeyer, and we hope to have, as the lights come on, we hope to have hopefully Olivia Rangel for a quick comment, or one of the star players.
Yeah.
They're going to huddle together here.
Yeah, this was a great win by the Pioneers, Don.
They come to center court to celebrate, so we like that.
Yep. As we said, going into conference play, this sets them up well, I think, for conference play. And, you know, knowing that you probably won't win every game, but
you will not.
They've got, I mean, we saw everything in this game. We saw steals. We saw three-point shots. We saw, you know, and what I like is the Pioneers didn't get into too much foul trouble.
They did not.
So, as we await the
Russ, you gonna get her next?
Yeah,
we're waiting for a Pio player or coach to give us a few comments here.
If
possible, they may be heading back to the locker room. They've got a little promotion going on after here. They're going to sign some posters. So if we can't get a statement, that's fine. But we do want to read the final game stats that are forthcoming. And it looks like there's another event taking place here, Greg, because the lights are already on, the overhead lights, and they're already starting to break down the seating.
Oh, wow.
So, but it's nice W7s here. They're getting Natalie Palskill, the junior from Germantown, with some comments. So hopefully Ross can get her for an interview and we can have her next.
Yep.
She certainly had a great game there.
She did.
So this has been great. And, we see your buddy J.R. Muth out here breaking down, doing some maintenance. Maybe we'll get a statement from him.
Yes.
He's a big fan.
You know, these student athletes support each other very well.
They sure do. So, yep, they will be signing autographs on the west side of the gym here. Tables and autographs after the game. So, great promotional opportunity.
Yeah.
For Cal women's basketball.
Yeah, definitely. So, under the coaching, as we said, of Lindsay Scholes.
That's a very impressive win.
Yeah.
Thanks, Mike. Mike Westmeyer, the final game stat. So, again, the most important stat, Pyle's victorious 69-54, led by 28 points from Olivia Rangel. She also had 4 assists and 5 rebounds. So, congrats to her and a great effort. Following 13 points from Natalie Grisius, including 1 three-pointer. Rangel had 2 three-pointers. We then had 8 points from Emily Wisner. She had a great game. She had 1 assist, 1 rebound. And then 9 points from Natalie Palskill, who we hope to get an interview with. She's with the W7 folks there with Gary and Ed. And, again, Natalie had 9 points. On 4 fouls, she had 6 rebounds and 3 assists. So great. And she did so many great things away from the ball, and that's why it really was a joy to watch her play. And she's having fun over there with the W7 folks. And then 4 points, Lauren Seike with 5 assists and 6 rebounds. So great effort by her. And then we mentioned Emily Wisner with 8 points. Allison Thompson had 4 points, 7 rebounds, 4 block shots. So she is now third place all time for block shots for Carroll University women's basketball. So congratulations to Allison. Just congrats on an overall team effort. There were some great minutes there provided by Chloe Halverson and Anna Nielsen. Ryan Wendt had a lot of time in there today. So the team had 12 total steals. So, again, a great effort. We got a great season to look forward to, Greg, as we start conference play. Kevin Richmond from the football team here to help with some audio-visual, it looks like. So it's great to see the support. I should probably get these things out of your way, my friend, so I don't trip you. So, you know, any final comments, Gray? Looks like Natalie's going to be a while there for the Piles, and we'll just have to be more coordinated about getting these post-game interviews.
Yeah. So, final comments. I would just say, again, statement win early in the season.
Yeah.
You know, Piles definitely showed some character.
A lot of composure. You
know, a lot of composure. A lot of ball control. Just lots of just great hard work. You can tell
great,
that.
Yeah, great smart passing.
Lindsay Schultz and her staff have spent a lot of time with this team.
They sure have. They sure have.
And, you know, as far as the officiating, you know, it was consistent.
They did a good job. There were a couple calls that were questionable, but
I always like it when they let just
didn't
let
affect the
play.
Outcome of the game. Yep.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
And so. They did call it tight both ways. So, I mean, there were some questionable calls against the Redhawks that I really was not very favorable of.
Yeah.
And, you just wanted to see. So
we'll see if we can get Natalie.
Yeah, no, I don't know if Natalie, she's in there for the long haul with our friend. And it's great to have, you know, W7 does one broadcast here a year, so they picked a good day to do it, that's for sure.
Yeah,
and, for those people that came, especially the youngsters on Community Day, they were treated to a great round of Carroll women's basketball. And we'll be back here next Wednesday, 7 o'clock tip-off, and probably be a 7 o'clock start as the Pios start the CCIW, then their first conference home game as well against North Central. So we're really looking forward to that. Please be to join us. And then,
Don, I'm just thinking just some things that we talked about on this weekend, or that you talked about on this week in Waukesha this morning. Don't forget about the cookie walk.
Cookie walk for Waukesha South next Saturday. Yep.
And then next Sunday, our Christmas parade coverage on the show.
Pre-coverage, yep. Starts at 3 o'clock.
We are really excited. So. 3 o'clock pre-parade.
Get you ready for
coverage.
The start at 4.
We'll have roving reporters.
Yep.
Out on the streets, so we're just.
And then really before excited. That Friday night, our first running of Friday night basketball.
Yes.
With the black shirts of Waukesha South taking on their first conference game, first conference home game anyway, against the Lasers of Kettle Moraine. So we're looking forward to that as well. That's a 7 o'clock start, 6:30, 6:45 pregame. We'll figure that out. But we want to thank everyone for joining us today, and be sure to join us next Wednesday. And we'll be running the men's home games. That should be coming around. That might even be next Saturday. But so much going on here in our University City. Congrats to the Pioneers women's basketball team, led by a 28-point effort by Olivia Rangel. And just great overall team play from the girls, from the ladies, excuse me. Final score, Pioneers 69, Redhawks 54. This is the Pioneer Basketball Radio Network on WAUK. Thank you again for joining us. Remember, safety is everyone's responsibility, and see ya!
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Why choose Weichert Realtors? Because your community is our community. We're your neighbors, your students, your chefs, your soldiers, your builders, your actors, your musicians, and your radio personalities. We love this city as much as you do, and that's why we want to help you live your best life here. Because we are your realtors. Call us today and let us help you find your next home. 608-821-7002 or visit Weichert-LakePoint.com. Weichert Realtors Lake Point, a home for all.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Eggland's Best.
I'm Wendy Gillette. Hamas says it will free 13 more hostages and 7 foreigners after delaying the handoff for several hours, claiming Israel is not holding up the terms of a ceasefire. A spokesman says only 65 aid trucks have reached northern Gaza, less than half of what Israel agreed to send there. The BBC's John Shea.
Officials close to negotiations between Israel and Hamas say a dispute which delayed the latest transfer of hostages has been resolved. Earlier, a Hamas spokesman, Osama Hamdan, outlined what had caused the delay.
We believe that the Israelis till now are not responding in the right and the positive way to what was achieved.
Israel had denied violating the terms of the ceasefire.
There are weather woes as some head home from grandmother's house this holiday weekend.
Whether by land or by air, meteorologist Kelly Cass at the Weather Channel says a cross-country storm is pushing from Arizona to Illinois before it moves east later this weekend.
The snowstorm storm moves into the plains. We've got Nebraska, Kansas, even down into the panhandles of Oklahoma and Texas, where that rain changes over to snow.
For Kansas, it will be the first major snowfall of the season. Linda Kenyon, CBS News.
It's Small Business Saturday when Americans are encouraged to shop at local stores. Retail analyst Bert Flickinger.
More shoppers supporting small businesses and family-owned and operated businesses than any other sector of retail.
Sources say former Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin was stabbed in prison.
A stabbing took place at a federal prison in Tucson, Arizona, reportedly involving former Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin, who was convicted in the death of George Floyd. The Associated Press and the New York Times cite sources. The Bureau of Prisons says life-saving measures were used on an inmate before taking the person to a hospital, but the inmate's name was not provided.
Jennifer Kuiper reporting, Chauvin is expected to survive. A new study finds routine cancer screenings save lives. Correspondent Bradley Blackburn has the details.
More than 15,000 cancer deaths could be prevented if more people follow recommended screening guidelines. A study from Mass General Hospital looked at lung, colorectal, breast, and cervical cancers and found a 10% increase in screenings creates a significant decline in deaths over the lifetime of eligible Americans.
Pope Francis headed to the hospital for a lung scan as he battles the flu. The Vatican says tests showed no problems. The Pope is still expected to appear in St. Peter's Square tomorrow for his regular address. He's scheduled to fly to Dubai Friday. This is CBS News.
Today, better nutrition and great taste are more important than ever. That's why Eggland's Best gives you and your family more. And that's healthy news for everyone. Only Eggland's Best.
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us.
Outside of that, there's plenty of room for discussion. Because our state has not done its job in funding public schools, we're constantly having to make decisions on what things, what programs, what policies will give us the biggest bang for our buck, and how can we, within our limited budget, go ahead and accomplish these things? And when's the right time to go to a referendum? And there's reasons to say not right now, there's reasons to say right now, and all of that is there for discussion. I think anybody with any political background can come in if they have a willingness to work together, to listen to one another, and to try to really keep front and center that what we're trying to do is create a positive environment for our kids and to develop the community of the future that we want together.
Mm-hmm. I have to say, and I'll save the story for another time, but it's really something to be a Democratic legislator. And there was something related to education where I was one of those who said, well, I get it. I like it. I support what you're doing. But this was, 2009, whatever it was, and we were going through the Great Recession at the time, and saying, well, I'm just not sure that this is where we need to put our resources. And, to hear some people say, it's like, oh, well, so you're against education. Like, no, you have to make these decisions, and it's done on a district-by-district basis based on the conditions that you have right now. So, Heather, having laid all that out, do you think that this is, despite what you hear from school board meetings and book bans and everything else, do you think this is a good time for people to consider becoming a school board candidate?
I don't think there's ever been a more critical time for good people to consider running for school board. Our kids need us to stand up for them right now. Our public schools are under attack and under threat in a lot of significant ways, not just related to funding. And if you care deeply about making sure that every kid is getting their needs met, that we are providing robust and well-rounded curriculum that really give kids a chance to understand the world around us and to be prepared to enter the workforce when they're done with our schools or to move on to college, then you need to step up and make sure that you're doing what you can where you live to be part of that. And for some people, that means serving on the school board. It is a fun job that gives you access to all kinds of information and relationships that you might not have found otherwise. And while it might seem overwhelming, it really does depend on good people with differing points of view who are willing to do the hard work of negotiating for our kids and making sure that we're doing everything that we can as the grown-ups they're counting on to make sure their needs are met.
All right, Heather Dubois-Bornon, thank you. Tim Nordine, president of the Eau Claire School Board. Nice to have you here along as well. Thank you very much.
Thanks again.
Hope we get
to
talk to you
soon.
Yep, Heather, we'll talk again very soon. We'll continue our homeroom series next week. We'll talk about the value just ahead of Thanksgiving of talking about Wisconsin's indigenous population. Back with, what is today? Wednesday. Oh, it's Todd Alba Day. Oh, this will be fun. Back after this on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is the Shaw, WAUK.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us. And click on the
Career You're listening tab. To the Shaw, WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Come on, people now. Smile on your brother. Everybody get together. Try to love one another. Right
oh,
now.
Yeah. Peace, love, and Bobby Sherman, kids. It's just about 7:51 on a Wednesday. Todd Alba joins us now in this spirit of coming together and working with one another. Todd, how are you?
Well, how about you guys?
Oh, very well. I mean, look at the spirit of cooperation we have here. And and look at what we saw in the Capitol yesterday. You had bipartisan cooperation on two huge issues, depending on how you look at it. It was bipartisan cooperation on keeping the Milwaukee Brewers in town and reforming our liquor laws after decades and decades of antiquated language. Or there was bipartisan agreement yesterday to smash wedding barns and kill the industry and waste our money on a billionaire baseball team owner. So, Todd, how did yesterday go for you in a bipartisan way? Or you, Greg?
I mean, go on, Todd.
What?
Go,
Todd. No, go ahead. I was going to say, I thought maybe we were talking about the bipartisanship in Washington, D.C., where Democrats decided to save the country and pass a continuing resolution.
Oh, yeah, saving the country, too. Yes, yeah, there is that. Right, Greg?
Or you could be like, welcome to the Thunderdome that is the U.S. Senate.
Oh, my God. Right, well, that gets us back to the lummox from Oklahoma, whose name I didn't even use last hour. I didn't want to give him the credit. It's something Mullen. And again, just challenging the Teamsters president to a fight right there in the committee room. Just this, again, the level of toxic masculinity that has infected parts of the political right is borderline depressing or at other times comical.
It was. You know, I will say this. I am not for violence in any way, shape, or form. And what they did yesterday was very embarrassing. But nothing pulls away from the severity of an incoming fight than two men saying, butts. Stand your butt up.
Stand your butt up. Yeah.
I really enjoyed the fact that Bernie Sanders was the one that was able to calm everybody
down.
Yeah,
it was Bernie.
That was like, my
you're a U.S. senator, sir. You're just...
All right.
There's company here. There's company here.
Back to the point at hand. I am one who believes that the Milwaukee Brewers, on the whole, is still an economic engine driver for the state of Wisconsin. I still think it's a great marketing and publicity tool for the state of Wisconsin. I know it provides a lot of jobs, not just for people who work at AmFam Field, but the restaurants and the service industry and the bars and all the other places around that facility. So I still think it's a good deal. Certainly there were improvements to be made, and I give a tip of the cap to some of the Democrats, in particular, I think Senator Larson, for offering a couple of amendments to do that. I still think it was the right thing to do, and I'm glad that Governor Evers is going to sign it into law and keep the Brewers here through 2050. And I think the other part of it that gets kind of lost and isn't being talked about enough is with these upgrades, particularly the HVAC, it will become a more year-round venue. So it's not just for baseball. Remember, they don't own it. They lease the facility. And I think it's going to offer a lot more, whether it's conventions or music things or whatever. I think it's going to get used a lot more. And so I think that's good. On the liquor law side, this is something I actually worked on when I worked for former Senator Schultz of the legislature. As you know, Pat, this has been something that has been in the works for years, if not decades.
Yes.
And you know, it used to be like, for instance, if you, Wallersheim Winery in Southwest Wisconsin, I know there's a lot of other smaller wineries across Wisconsin, but they were not able to sell their bottles or cases of wine to a grocery store 10 miles down the road without going through a distributor, basically a middle person that takes a cut. And it was, the laws were just ridiculous.
Wait, which made sense at the time, just coming out of Prohibition.
Oh, sure.
When you were when you were setting up the business model that, you know, no one entity could have like monopoly power in the marketplace. But that was then, and the laws needed to be updated. But tell me this, because as I was listening to the debate yesterday, and listening to Senator Spreitzer really trying to keep this bill from crushing the wedding barn industry. Whether it does or not, I'm going to set that aside just to say it was clear from an insider standpoint that the Tavern League has clout. Bars and taverns have clout. Breweries, distillers, they have clout. And the wedding barn industry, it was just kind of like, you know, a bystander going, wait, how did I get hit with shrapnel from all of this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you're right. And again, unfortunately, proves that in today's politics, like more than ever before, if you don't hire a lobbyist and a really good one and spend a lot of money, you're going to be left on the sidelines. And whether it's Citizens United in elections or whether it's big time lobbying money in the legislature, unless you have a strong advocate and are probably paying for that, you are going to get left behind. Yeah, I know wedding barn people. I know people that have derived their livelihood off of this, and I think it really does suck for them, and I feel badly for that. But I think as a whole, for the industry, I think it's probably better.
Yeah, I mean, again, I can't pretend to know, you know, what I would have done differently on the bill. I just know when I looked at the bill and it said that these places, A, would have to get a license, B, could only operate, what was it, like six times a year and only one time a month. I thought, man, that's like sending a message, you know, from the Tavern League and others. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That says you're not welcome here, and we want people coming back to our banquet halls and what have you.
Yeah, no, I mean, you know, the Tavern League is a huge player, particularly in Republican politics.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we have apparently avoided a government shutdown because of the honeymoon period that you know, Mike Johnson's being given as the new speaker. Really, we've just kicked the can down till what, January and February for most of these things. But if you, for those who missed it last hour, I'd say if one good thing came out of it, and it's not a great thing, but it's a good thing, is that they basically took all of the farm bill. And they, instead of punting that to January, February, they punted that till September of next year. Mm-hmm. So that's good, but it also means you couldn't improve on the farm bill at all. But we've kind of averted that crisis. But I think it's, don't you think it's still too early to tell if this is, you know, any kind of a net positive or just, you know, again, kicking the can down towards something that's going to be, it's going to just be terrible in January or February if you're like trying to get on an airplane or something like that?
Well, I think that's where the net positive is that, what we were looking at on Thanksgiving weekend, no less, is TSA workers not being paid and rightfully weren't walking off the job in some cases. It would have been a catastrophe. So from that standpoint, I'm really happy it got resolved. I'm glad our men and women in the military are going to get paid through the holiday and other government workers. But yes, Pat, I think to your point, it just puts more the problems further down the road. But here's the thing that people, I hope, take away from this. It was Democrats in the House of Representatives who crossed over and passed this bill. There were more Democrats that voted for the continuing resolution than Republicans. And once again, it shows me that the Republican leadership in this country, particularly in the House, simply cannot lead.
No, other people have to step up to actually get the work done. Todd Alba, noon to 2 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Thank you, sir.
The Todd Father.
And Craig, thank you as well. We'll talk to you tomorrow when we will also have Joe Zepecki, Dr. Kristen Lyerly, and Hometown Health. And remember, you can stay up to date on all we do at UpNorthNewsWI.com. Pleasure to have you here up north for the day. Have a great Wednesday. See you tomorrow.
Whether you're heading down Les Paul Parkway or fighting traffic on the interstates, this is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Don't change the station, but do watch out for deer, would ya? You know, they're running around all willy-nilly. It is the Krebscast with me, Charlie Behrens, on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Eggland's Best.
I'm Wendy Gillette. Hamas says it will